You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Interview with Harry Almy. We're here to talk on the radio about a theatre show adapted from a radio show. And I'm here with Harry Almy, the director.
It is I, Harry Almy, here for Second Breakfasts. Will the Silly Billies come out to play?
It is. You are the first second-time interviewee here on my edition of the show, at least. So we're talking about The Goon Show. It's on during The Fringe. But for people who weren't listening the first time, we did last year's show. Give us the background of The Goon Show as a whole.
Give us the background. Well, The Goon Show was a series of serialised radio episodic comic little bits put on the BBC. It ran from 1951 to 1960. It was the godfather of alternative comedy, as authored by Spike Milligan, authoring such classics as Monty Python.
Fantastic. I was just reading just before this. Yes. Spike Milligan and I believe it was Harry Secombe met when Spike Milligan's squadron in World War II dropped artillery gun.
I believe
I know
the story quite well. Actually, it's one of the famous stories. So all of these fellas fought in the Second World War, a very serious affair, as you might imagine. Sure. Not at all. War is madness. Everyone's shooting each other over a little bit of paper. So of course, because this is madness, you're trundling up the hill. You're going up your truck, but then someone stops you, and you get up and you ask them a question. And they say to you, "Have you seen an artillery piece? Because they'd pull." This artillery piece in North Africa all the way to the top of the hill, and they fired it. It went bing and it jumped backwards and rolled down the hill because they hadn't put the stops into the damn thing. So there was a highly expensive, highly dangerous piece of artillery trundling down the hill at high speeds. That is the sort of life experience that would fuel the chaos and comedy of The Goon Show.
Sure. So that's a taste of the type of comedy that's involved. So you performed one of these two scripts last year, and I've been informed by yourself that this year's edition is bigger and better. So tell us what's different about this edition of the show.
What's better, my dear, dear, lovely friend 5 miles away from me? I can hardly hear him. It's a double bill. I said looking at the Fringe Festival that I want to do a good deal for my customer. So I said to myself, two for one. For a mere meagre price of $20, my dear lovely listeners, you don't get one Goon Show script. No, that would be extortionate. You get two. Specifically, the dreaded batter pudding hurler of Bexhill-on-Sea, a very famous one, you might have heard of it, and as the B-act, Ye Bandit of Sherwood Forest, the goons in pantomime.
Sure. So the second one is obviously Robin Hood inspired. Yes. How do they warp that story?
Well, you see, the only rule in The Goon Show is that there are no rules. Oftentimes, so there were about 250 episodes, all the characters would die at the end, but then come back without much fanfare in the next one. So oftentimes The Goon Show, to really just take them away from Britain and diversify it, artistically Spike Milligan would take them to a different country or a different time in history. Sure. So it is the characters, but they've just been transposed into ye old Nottingham.
Fantastic. Speaking of the roles of the goons themselves, you've got... Your roles for your actors are based on the goons themselves, so they're each taking the roles that a specific goon would have taken.
Yeah.
Did you assign them based on their similarities to the real-life goon?
To an extent, my dear friend, and I must say there's some slight deviations, just because, of course, it was a radio show, so they could get away with, say, me being one character, then changing my voice to be another character. Sure. I've split it off slightly. The wonderful, wonderful show-stopping Sam Kelly is playing Wallace Greenslade, but is also taking on other slight different roles in order to make the logistics work. Yeah, yeah, I did to an extent. Broadhead has the lovely operatic voice of Harry Seacombe, who played Ned Seagoon. Spike Milligan was scraggy. Thus, I put the wonderful Lily Lindley. Oisin Benn has the slightly more slender and nasally and energetic figure of the world-famous Peter Sellers. But there's also no extent the physical quality. I have over the years, and I'm very interested to talk about over the years, swapped them about, and it just doesn't look right. Sure. It looks perfect the way it is.
So that's quite funny for a radio show that you can hear almost a physical quality to the originals. And there's a fourth member of the cast. There is. What's... There's only three goons in the show. What's the role of the fourth member of the cast?
So, yes, the three goons, we've got Broadhead standing in for Spike Milligan, we've got Lindley standing in for Peter Sellers, for Spike Milligan, and we've got Oisin standing in for Peter Sellers, the original three goons. But in those original scripts, they also roped in the poor, just did not want to be there, Wallace Greenslade, who, as you can picture, is just your typical buttoned-up BBC announcer.
So he was originally, he's not like playing a BBC announcer. In the originals, he was just there as the radio.
He was just the BBC announcer, but they put a very different script in front of it. It was like, just to paraphrase one script, sometimes he would announce it saying, "This is Wallace Greenslade saying, boom, tickety, boom, boom, chucka, chucka. I would like it to be known, I do not write this tripe."
Fantastic. One thing we talked about last time you were on the show, and it's mentioned in the blurb that you've got up on the Fringe website, is a question of perhaps Spike's popularity waning as time goes on. Mm. And last time we talked about his relevance to modern comedy and how he fit in. Let's go over that again. Mm. What's the value in putting it on now, do you think?
Well, the value in putting it on now, there's an extent to which we're thinking, do we have to make all these new original pieces? The Fringe Festival is full of a bunch of original, lovely, lovely stuff. But there's also no extent to which we have to mix it up a little bit. We are creating something original to an extent by taking this old thing and putting it in a way that it's never been done before. And it has never been done in this way. The Goon Show Preservation Society were quite surprised to hear my idea for how to stage it, which is, you've got the studio recording area where they're doing the recorded performance to be broadcast live, but that you, my dear listeners, shall be the studio audience watching it live and having that physical quality filled in with goofy physical stuff. But there's also the value in the fact that it was persistence. I remember I have this one good friend who at high school was raised here in Dunedin, but then did, as many people did the stereotypical thing, he went off to Wellington.
Sure.
But when he came back, he said Dunedin theatre is actually better, surprisingly, because we have a lot of cards stacked against us. We don't have a professional theatre venue anymore. But he said it's almost stronger for the fact that we have to persist. And that is the story of the Goon Show. There are constant jokes in that show, in that programme, about how they were running on no money. But you've got one of the most famous shows in history, and it feels like we're telling our story to an extent of persisting on a shoestring budget.
They then went on to inspire people who very much didn't operate on a... relative to the times, didn't operate on a shoestring budget. Speak to me about who you think they've influenced and how you think their sort of comedy changed comedy in general.
Well, as I said previously, Monty Python. Mm. A lot of people who, of the younger generations who haven't heard of the Goon Show, when I say Monty Python and do the old lady voice, "You've been a very naughty boy!" They instantly get it. It's that kooky sort of humour that they took influence from. It's hard to almost grapple with it, but it is the start. It is Charlemagne, it is Zeus, it is the start of this sort of comedy where you take a situation and take it to its illogical conclusion. You misuse comedy. It's the progenitor of all those sorts of jokes. Every time you've made a joke and it was just didn't make any sense and you're doing it for, and that was funny, Spike Milligan and his craziness. But also, just rolling back to that question you said about the question of, is Spike Milligan's popularity waning? People might not have heard of The Goon Show, but they will have heard of Bad Jelly the Witch.
Sure.
And there is that similar angle to which, I suppose, The Goon Show is where kids' storytelling, that sort of storytelling, it became mainstream. It became listened to 20 million people regularly. It came as far as New Zealand, Australia. It's gone international. I bet it's well-loved in Serbia, of all places. Yeah. That is it. Its influence has come so far that we've got a Netflix adaptation of the works of Spike Milligan.
Sure. This time, it's at Fringe.
It's at Fringe.
Talk to me. I hope you're the first of hopefully many of the Fringe acts that we'll be able to rope in to talk to. Mm. So give me the rundown on what changes when you do the show as Fringe, what they provide you, etc.
Oh, the Fringe Festival provide us with just an incredible amount of support. The main support is that ticketing outfit. So they have that big centralized place where hundreds of thousands of people will click on it, and it will just be more available and accessible. They'll also be sourcing us our hapless front of house person, our ticket person, sure. who we shall put round the ringer. They give us a lovely jubbly 15% discount on our poster, which you will be seeing post haste put about the town. Oh, that's just the start of the sort of support they give us. But it's just the fact of the Fringe Festival.
Sure.
We could do a show at any other point of the year, but when are people going to come and see theatre? When's the time to bring people in? It's the event of the Fringe Festival. But yes, there's something special about this Fringe Festival and about my show, The Steps Beyond Season at Allen Hall.
Which is?
It is the cream of the crop. It is the place to go to see the upcoming artists in Dunedin, the emerging artists. As we talked about in our previous interview, last year I did Foiled by President Fred in the Lunchtime Theatre context. Lunchtime Theatre, dear listeners, is a workshop-type situation where we apply to Allen Hall and the School of Performing Arts. They give us a $70 budget, two lunchtime slots, and 4 weeks to produce a show.
Sure.
So it's essentially a workshop. It's a place for us to practice our craft without the risk. And thanks to that safe, cushy little bit, we have had the reward. Three shows which performed at Lunchtime Theatre last year are Arm Linked in Arm, Marching Forward Together to Allen Hall. Every weekend at Allen Hall during the Fringe Festival, there shall be a show from the Steps Beyond Season.
Fantastic. So, you yourself, class of 2023. And you've, I suppose we should get into this now. You founded a production company, Silly Billy Productions. go over the sort of the thinking behind choosing to create a company name to do stuff under, whether there's planned futures or what you intend to do with the name.
Yeah, and it's very important to have those planned futures, because you see it far too often. Someone decides, all right, let's give the Fringe Festival a try, make a production company, it's once and done, and it just drifts off into oblivion.
Sure.
Silly Billy Productions had its inception last year, where we as a crew, as a lovely, lovely little team, thought to ourselves, hey, let's give it the extra mile. So we did a rare thing and created these promotional sketch videos to promote Foiled by President Fred, to show our little chops, show our creativity. You'd watch them, you'd giggle, you'd come to the show. So it started last year. This year it's had a rebrand. It's changed from a man doing jazz hands to a goat, a Silly Billy, if you will. And that's our lovely theatre collective. But yes, plans for the future. We have nothing set in stone for the moment, but it was very important for us to create a IP, create a bit of a following in case we do. Some people make the decision to make their production company named after themselves or named after a cute little combination of other people.
Sure.
But with the future as uncertain as it is, I like to keep it as it is. So perhaps one day if I flit off to Melbourne and I'm in no need of a production company, but my lovely, lovely compatriot Broadhead is here, perhaps he'd like to take the social media handle of Silly Billy Productions New Zealand and just muck around with that. Sure. Thereby, I can move it around a lot.
And you say social media handle, you do have, there's a Facebook page and an Instagram page.
Yes, yes, there is indeed.
Handle, I assume, is Silly Billy...
Silly Billy Productions. The one, the only.
So you can check those out if you'd like to. And how did the rights come along for this show? Because I remember last time we were talking about the rights and there being sort of... Nitty-gritty.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that is quite exciting news. And unfortunately, the news I wasn't able to deliver you there. But thanks in no small part to my wonderful producer, well-known as excellent throughout the town, Jordan Wichman, we have the rights.
Fantastic.
We have the rights. Not only do we have the rights, we have it from the mouth of themselves. We have it from the estate of Spike Milligan, Spike Milligan's daughters. This, my dear, lovely, tasty, delicious listeners... is the first professional rendition of The Goon Show in Dunedin history.
Fantastic. And as always, that's always lovely to be pioneering in that sense.
Oh, I got a little jiggle in my back.
So were they difficult to deal with? Because we've had some in the past that were not easy to deal with. I remember Mark Ravenhill's estate, when we wanted to do Candide for university, was a bit iffy because it never had a... professional production in New Zealand. Were there any hurdles? Was it smooth sailing pretty much?
No hurdles. The main hurdle, of course, is there in the United Kingdom. We're here in New Zealand. We're boats passing each other in the wave, so to speak, in terms of time zones. Goodness, it's like, what, like a 13-hour difference? No, they were very keen. They were very keen. And you want to know why? Because they thought that they have a mission in life, Spike Milligan's estate and Spike Milligan's daughters. They protect their work very ferociously. They want us to keep to the script.
Sure.
But they have a mission to bring joy and improvement to humanity by distributing the works of Charlemagne Spike Milligan.
Sure. Fantastic. Well, yeah. That's always good to hear. Yeah. It's great to hear about artists who aren't, too militant about the use of the work. And it's cool that they're letting you adapt it into something, into a medium that it maybe hasn't been done as before. I guess, are there any... Oh, the other shows that were part of the...
Steps Beyond Season.
Yeah. Shout those out.
Yeah, I'll shout those out. We've got Adeline's Cottage and we've got Pas de Trois. I'm in total director mode, just keeping my dates in the back of my head, so unfortunately I don't have them in the back of my head. But it's almost... It's like an electoral ticket. I hereby endorse Adeline's Cottage and Pas de Trois. The three shows, if you're going to come to the Fringe Festival, and you are coming to the Fringe Festival, it's once in a lifetime, come or miss it. These things are passing into oblivion, as all theatre does. The three shows that you shall, and I say shall, come and see are The Goon Show, Adeline's Cottage, and Pas de Trois. I hereby endorse these shows because it's been really special. There's a degree of as I said, cohort camaraderie that we're going off to not just make the works, but to support each other, to be friends to each other, to work together in a shared space and just be friends. This is the representation of the class of 2023. This is the future of theatre. This is our first professional show. We're ready to go.
Awesome. And do you think that maybe you're sort of pushing out into something that there hasn't been a lot of lately? Do you think that there's a need for more of these, professional theatre shows to stay in Dunedin?
Well, it's a question of whether they need to stay in Dunedin. I think when you look at fringe programmes, there's definitely a need for more out-of-body artists. Sure. We have a mix, but I suppose it's the adage of spend local, buy local. There's going to be lots of incredible talent coming from outside of Dunedin, but unless we can prove that it is viable to put on theatre as a Dunedin local, then... the Dunedin Fringe Festival will be more like the celebrity street.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. and hopefully if people see the local shows during Fringe, it sort of expands out past the Fringe. And there's room to do stuff in, September.
Our three shows are the only three shows at Allen Hall Theatre, my dear, dear friend. Allen Hall Theatre being on campus and just across from Unicole.
And it is it's a lovely theatre, but as you say, there's no professional venue outside of the uni to use in Dunedin. So it is good that the Allen Hall is there.
Oh, yes. But that's been the incredible support. I have to shout out such incredible support from people like Jordan Wichman and Marty. They've been with these shows for so long. It's just an incredible vote of confidence. They've seen our show in Lunchtime Theatre and they've come to us and they've said, Ari, I think I've got a cunning idea. They have the confidence, these stars of local Dunedin. But yeah, it's a shame because a lot of fringe venues aren't, they have to pick venues and sometimes they don't have the lighting, they don't have the stage. So we've been incredibly privileged in Allen Hall to have that.
Fantastic. So get along, everybody, for the lighting, the stage, the actors, the script, the fantastic direction. You said in the press release, two-time and two-bit director. Massive vote of confidence in yourself there.
Well, I started writing that, and my incredible producer, Jordan Wichman, I was saying to her, does this read right? Because when you read press releases and you read theatre review stuff, it was written in a certain hyper-formalised tone.
Absolutely.
But Jordan was like, that's perfect, Harry. It sells the tone. There's a degree of self-deprecating nature to it. The goons are a gallery of idiots, and I joined them gratefully. That is me, Harry Albee, two-time and two-bit director of Goon Show Scripts.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in to talk with me again.
Oh, thank you.
Harry, lovely to talk to you. Hopefully, after this, perhaps, put me in contact with the members of the other shows.
Yes, yes.
And hopefully we'll get you all on and we'll have a big marketing push.
Big!
Towards the class of 2023.
That sounds like a plan.
But fantastic. A closing statement.
Ying Todd Nidalai Po. This is Harry Albee signing off from the deepest pits of hell.
Fantastic. And back to you.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.